Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
You know, if that story, if we ever think, because I can think of times that I have disappointed God, many times that I've disappointed God. But thank God for grace and mercy, and that even when I've been a prodigal son, that he's never refused to take me back. That every time I've been unfaithful to him, the Bible says when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. So the past is the past. And God believes in you. God believes in you, Pam. God believes in me. God believes in you. If Satan comes and says, accuses, God says, I believe in them. And Satan says, what about their past? But God says, their past has been erased by the blood of Jesus. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Pam. But let me read first. I wanted to read this scripture. Psalm 27. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord our God. I always like that scripture.
You know what I think is so amazing, Ken, about the Judas encounter? You know, he had just given in the first sop, which meant you're my best friend. That's what the first sop was. When you hand the first person, you give the honored guest, you're my best friend. You're the one we're here to, I honor you. You may not honor me, I honor you. The second thing, the friend in the garden thing, do you remember, Ken, God called Abraham his friend? And here is God calling Judas his friend. Wow, God, you know how to pick them, don't you? Well, you got one right, but this one not so much. But do you know that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing? Because in the Bible, he called Abraham friend, he called Judas friend, and guess who else he called friend? He called you and I his friend. We are a friend of God. You are a friend of God. And we can trust God. And, you know, our little experiment, it was so fun and it was so cute. But let me bring it home for you, okay? Can I do that? What if Lily needed to be caught by her father and she was jumping from a burning building? Okay, we've got some carpet down here the last I checked. Could get a pillow if we need to. But what if it was concrete? What if the situation was different? What if I was saying, do you believe that he can catch you if you're up there burning? Yes. Jesus will catch you in the most desperate situations. Just like Ken caught Lily, what about when it really is hard? Do you know that Jesus can be trusted? He can be trusted because he's the faithful friend. That, you know, I love that saying because I pointed out to you that Ken had his hand on her back. Have you ever heard the term, they've got your back? God's got your back. That's what I would like to say today. God's got your back. He can be trusted. Psalm 9:10 says something so wonderful. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. God has never forsaken you. But you have to know the name of the Lord. Do you know that we know somebody when they mention your name. What do you think of? I could tell you story after story after story of people who betrayed, people who rejected. But I can tell you a story about Jesus who's never rejected, who's never betrayed, who's never dropped you. You know, I preached a sermon, and I'm actually going to share that on a podcast again soon, is don't let who dropped you stop you. Jesus, because Jesus has never dropped you. And I'm so thankful that I have a God I can trust. And here's why I'm thankful. Do you know that if you trust the wrong person, you will die? Do you know that you can die? How many young girls have signed up for Tinder, eHarmony.com, and they're now a story, their history? because they trusted the wrong person. They did not know that person. You can't trust someone that you don't know. I know the Lord can be trusted. He is dependable. He is trustworthy. And I loved Ken's verse, some trust in chariots and horses. You know what? That means some trust in strength. But I remember the name of God, and I trust in God.
It's because I had my own mic. There's kind of been a philosophy that I've kind of tried to make my own since I began ministry. And many of you have heard this a thousand times. It's, if it's not real, I don't want it. But I pursue that with a passion. Because the reason I think that's important is, first of all, would you agree that as human beings, we can easily be led astray? We can. We can be led astray by sin, right? Easily. The lure of money can get people into sin. The lure of fame can get people into sin. Human desires can get people into sin. But there's other temptations, like to get off into something false. Like the Jim Jones followers thought he was a man of God, right? So it's easy for people to be fooled even by charlatans. And it's even, check this out, it's even easy for pastors and preachers and teachers and evangelists to be fooled into thinking that they're something special. Or to be fooled into thinking that they're hearing from God when maybe they're not hearing from God. I have always been so cautious about that, because imagine how presumptuous it is to say to people that trust you that God is saying such and such. You know, imagine if I said to you, God told me this morning that everyone in here is going to give $200. That's everyone. That would be such a misuse. And God would be in heaven going, what? What's happening? I said what? And it's easy to also get off in spiritual things. And you say, well, it sounds like you're so cautious. And maybe I'm too cautious in that area. But I will tell you this. Every time you reject something that's not of God, God smiles, because you're proving to God you want the genuine. You want the genuine. And what the world says is there's so much phony that I'm throwing away religion. And what I say is I'm throwing away all the phony, because to have a real relationship with a real Jesus who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and I am rejecting. And I'll tell you, even as a pastor, as a minister, there have been times in my life that I've thought thoughts. And I thought, is that of God? And I said, I will test it. I'll test it. And you know what? If the thing that I thought did not come to pass, I have learned a valuable lesson. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. I wanted it to be God, you know, and be quick to do that. Be quick to throw away the fake $20 bills. If you get a fake $20, throw it away. I'm after the real. And the most exciting thing in life. Okay. Would you agree that there was a time in your life, I want you to think back, that there was a time in your life that you were kind of on fire for God? Not just that you knew the presence of God was there, but you sensed in your heart an excitement. You sensed in your spirit, like you could bite nails into, like God was with you. That God was on your side. You were in the middle of ministry. You knew that God was moving. That to me is the most exciting part of life. When it's not religion, when it's not listening to a dry sermon and saying, what time's Popeye's open? You know, I'm going to get the four-piece today. But, yeah, I've done that plenty of times in church. Go, while the pastor's preaching, going, am I getting the apple pie or not? Yeah. Or you're just in church thinking, I am so bored. But when you know that what we're talking about, that there's a real God, that's, you know, that'll blow your mind. That the God that made the stars, that there's a real God, he's a real person, and he wants to have that relationship with you. So when I said there was that time in your life that you were connected with God and you were excited, and I bet everyone here kind of had the same thought. I kind of wish I was at that place, right? Don't you kind of wish you were back at that place? Don't you kind of wish? And here's the exciting part. If we're not at that place, it's not God that has decided to back away. God still wants that. He still wants a relationship. Pam, the fact that God would call anybody a friend and the fact that he would call us friends is absolutely amazing. God gave us a family, and that blows me away. That blows me away. This is going to sound out of context, but we're going to bring it into context. Daniel 6:23. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den of lions. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in the Lord. The story of Daniel in the lion's den is a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story for children because I remember loving it as a child. But it's not just a good story. It's in the Bible for you to get the lesson that God will do for you. The devourer is trying to devour you. And look what God did to the devourer, to the lion. He shut his mouth and he rescued him. God is not, he's our Savior. He saves. How many times has God saved us, and will he continue to save us? And David said, God has a bear attacked. And I grabbed that bear and clubbed him over the head. He did it through the power of God. Lions have attacked, and Goliath attacked. Let me ask you something about the battles in your life. How do you think David would have scored if you were scoring the game here? We have David versus a bear coming up in 5 minutes. Place your bets. Bear or David? We have bears. The bears. We have David versus a lion. Place your bets. We had David versus Goliath. Place your bets. How many of you think David would have done well if he didn't have God on his side? He would have been ripped to shred in every one of those battles. But when God is on your side, come on. And that's when we got God on our side, Pam.
You can trust him. You know, every time I hear that, what you just said, that he was lifted out and there was no wound on him, I think of the scripture, he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. Let me tell you, he was wounded for the purpose that our wounds would be healed. And so many times, God has come through for us. These are just not just Bible stories. These are real accounts. You know, as a child, I really didn't know the difference between a parable and what was true in the Bible until I figured out these are real accounts of real people that had real names just like you and I. And there's very many spiritual principles here. And, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 56:3, something I really love, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And I'm like, I thought God's word says, fear not, for I am with you, fear not. It's like, excuse me? What do you mean when I am afraid? This doesn't mean that fear will never come to us. We can have fear, but we should never let fear have us. There is a difference, by the way. You should never let fear hold you. Fear can come to you. But it says, when I am afraid, I'll still trust you. If I am on an airplane and it's shaking all over the sky, if I am in the doctor's office and I am just waiting, I remember clearly a time when the doctor had suspected that I had cancer and pretty much just about said those words, like, we're just going to confirm this with ultrasound. And I was sitting in and they're waiting. And the nurse came in and she said, they have to do more. They have to do another ultrasound. And I'm terrified. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I trust in you. Oh, God, I'm depending on you. And they came back in the room and said, now you have to wait for the doctor. And I was almost climbing walls. I'm like, they're just about to tell me. And I just kept saying, I trust in you, Lord. Oh, God, you are with me even in this. You are with me. You will never fail me. And they came in and said, we just had to get a confirmation on this. There is absolutely nothing wrong with you. I literally walked out in the waiting room, and everybody who was waiting for that test, I literally said to them, my God says it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. One lady just started crying. I can remember it so clearly, but to trust in the Lord, it's okay to have fear. But there are three different types of people you can trust. Number one, you can choose to trust in the Lord. Number two, you can choose to trust in other people. Go to the doctor, go to the lawyers, go to other people. You can put your hope in other people. Like I said, they may fail you. Number three, you can trust in yourself. You can say, God, I've got this. Have you ever heard people, I've got this. I've got this, God. Well, that's until you're sitting in the doctor's office. Today, you've got this. Maybe tomorrow, not so much. Here's what the Bible says about us who try to make it on our own and trust in ourselves. Proverbs 28:26. Those who trust in themselves are fools. But those who walk with the Lord are kept safe. Let me tell you, you may think you can trust in yourself, but you're not in a trap. I can tell you something, you cannot heal yourself. I can tell you something else, you cannot deliver yourself from a strong enemy. I can tell you something else, you cannot deliver yourself from addictions. You are not that good and you have not got this, okay? We need the Lord. You can trust in riches, but the stock market goes up and then it goes right back down again. Does it not? Am I right? Proverbs says this about riches. It says we're fools if we trust in ourselves. Here's what it says about riches. Proverbs 11:28. Those who trust in their riches will fail, will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Only when we trust in the Lord can we have security in this life. Only if you trust in anybody else, they're going to fail you. What we need to do is make a choice. Here's something that I love. This was someone else's verse. It's mine now. Psalm 34:1. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Not just he heard me. You know, I love that because there are verses that say the Lord heard me to remind you that God hears you. But I like this one. I like this one. He heard me. He answered me. Do you know that I ask God questions and he answers me? He absolutely answers me.
So I want to give you an illustration. When from my life, the first, I wanted to become a pilot, and so I took ground school, and I was reading about aviation. I was really into it. And so I finally started taking flight lessons out at Clow Airport in Bolingbrook back years ago. And well, I remember that first flight, and it was looking out the window, and this is my first time in an airplane, you know, a small airplane, and I was so excited. I'm actually flying. Everything looked beautiful. And then the engine quit. It got my attention. And this is my first flight. It's my first time in an airplane, and the engine had been sounding all powerful. You know, the RPMs were way up there, and all of a sudden it just, I looked at the RPM gauge, and the propeller was windmilling, but no power at all. We had no power. Fortunately, I was with my instructor, and I said, he said, what happened? And I said, I don't know. He said, what do you think happened? I said, I don't know. It looks like the engine has quit. He said, I think you're right. And I'm like, what do we do? And it turns out that he had quit the engine. And boy, was I unprepared. It's like I was just ready to panic. There's hundreds of buttons. I'm ready to start pushing them. So he handed me
After the flight, he said, this isn't called an emergency checklist. He goes, go home and memorize it. He said, go through it in your head. So the second flight was beautiful. It was a VFR. I mean, we were flying over farmland, and I was really doing really well. And all of a sudden, the engine quit. I'm like, what? I said, what happened? He said, I don't know. What do you think happened? I think the engine quit again. He said, what are you going to do about it? And I said, the checklist. There's a checklist. He goes, what's first? What's second? What's third? Do you know that every single time that I flew with that man, the engine quit? And he got me, like, most of the time. You would think I would learn, but I got so, oh, this is so nice. Well, engine has quit. And it got to the place where he said, I want, when you land, when you're on your downwind right across the numbers, he said, every time you land, even when you're by yourself, he said, turn those RPMs all the way down. He said, practice without an engine every time. So even when I got my pilot's license, I would do power off landings. I became used that didn't scare me. And I think you know where I'm going with this. You cannot wait until there's an emergency to start throwing up your hands and say, what are we going to do? There are some priority things, and in the kingdom, that's what it is. You have to priority. You have to triage. What do I have to do right now? And here's my list. This is not an ordained list, but what are we? When something hits you hard, right? When the engine quits, when something hits you hard, this is my priority. Not item one. Don't panic. That's actually the first thing I tell myself. Don't panic. Because that's a bad place to be. Spiritually, come on. Something has happened, and you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, and you're saying things. And first of all, don't panic. God's on the throne, all right? You know this. God's on the throne. Say, but what are we actually going to do? Okay, so the next thing on my list is trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You say, that's a tough one. So is it for Lily to fall back, right? But I have found in my life the things I worry about, the burdens that I carry, it is like letting go and say, but I gotta worry, I gotta hold on to this. And sometimes at the altar, I feel like God is saying, you gotta fall back into my arms. You gotta let go of that worry, and you have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. As much as I love science, and you know I do, God was telling me this morning, because I've been studying some new things in physics, and God was telling me, and I don't mean that, I never want to sound like any, you know what, I forget apologizing and just go on. I felt that God was saying to me, it's great, the laws and rules of science are amazing, but I am able to, with one voice, to overrule. I am the master of that. I can take an eye that cannot see, and I can rearrange the very atoms. What I know is that the smallest measure of unit of measurement in the universe is a Planck length. And at the Planck length place, God can rearrange things. He's not bothered by what the doctor says, it's impossible. When some scientist says, by science, there's no other way, God says, I'm the one that makes the science. I'll speak, and it will come into being. I'll walk on water. I'll shut the mouths of lion. I will be your deliverer. I will supersede the natural laws and do whatever. That's who we serve. That's who we serve.
He is a faithful God, even when we are faithful and cannot be trusted. You know, when that verse says, Lean not unto your own understanding. The correct translation of understanding is wisdom. Do not trust in your own wisdom. You can't figure it out. You may have a situation and you may be thinking, how am I going to deal with this? What's going to happen? Where can I go? What can I do? You cannot trust in your own wisdom, but trust in the Lord. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible. We know the story of David and Goliath. We know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. We know the story of the three Hebrew children in the fire. Do you know that there is not one single verse in the Bible that says they were not afraid? There's a lot of verses that say they trusted in the Lord, but there's no verse that says they were not afraid when they walked in a lion's den. And I'm smart enough, because I've done some thinking, how it would feel to walk into a lion's den or a fiery furnace. And, you know, it would be hard to walk in. But that means we still trust in the Lord. And, you know, there's another experiment that's like the one that we did with Lily. And I've seen it online, and it's very, very hysterical. And what it is, it's not just a one-on-one experiment. Contact problem. It's a whole group of people on one side. Like, I lined up a group of people here and a group of people here. And then they have one person in the middle who's going to fall back, and that whole group of people is going to catch them. Do you know that every single time the fallback person would be like, I can't? You would think, Ken, that out of all those people, they would say, well, I can trust. Maybe one of them will catch me. But let me tell you why they don't. In this life, you've trusted many people, haven't you? You've trusted a lot of people who let you down. And that's why people have difficulty trusting in the Lord. Because you're not understanding the scriptures that says that God is not a man that he should lie. And so that when he says he can be trusted, he can be trusted. But because so many people have failed you, all those people on this side of your life and on that side of your life, every one of them have failed you at some time. But you also have failed to catch somebody, haven't you? The question should not be, can I trust Ken? Can I really trust him? Can I trust Anna? Can I trust Janice? Can I trust Frida? Can I trust Lily? That's not the question. The question is, can I be trusted? It's not even, can God be trusted? We know he can. It's, can God count on me? Can I be trusted? So this is really a message about examining ourselves. See how we tricked you? See how we changed it on you? We just changed the script. It's not really about trusting God, although we do trust God and we know God can be trusted. We want to be found faithful and trustworthy, don't we? I know I do, and I know you do, too.
So, another illustration. So, when I was 23, I joined the military. But I did something unique. Before I joined the military, I joined the military. And what I mean by that is, back then, when you went to join the military, there was a waiting list depending on what job you were going into. And so they said, we want you in the military, but we have to wait for a slot to open up. But they had me go ahead and join. They had me go ahead and sign the papers. All that I was waiting for was a phone call. So even though I wasn't technically in the military, I was in the military. I had a contract. I had already agreed to be in the military. And when they finally called and said, it's time to come, I went. And in life, with the things that can hit us suddenly, good or bad, it is necessary that you have already said yes to whatever. You're going to walk that walk with God, right? Whatever happens. If you become a multi-billionaire, you better still serve God. But if something happens where you have to go through some things, you're still going to serve God, right? You're still not testing out God. See, I had said yes to this contract even before I was called. And God may have an assignment for you that he hasn't given you, but the important thing is you've already said yes. By the way, that's how you do that. You go to an altar today and you sign up. You say yes. You say, God, what do you need me for? I want you to know that I'm yours and you're mine. So when God asks you to do something, you don't say, who, me? What do you mean? What do you want me to go where? That's not for me. Jonah, go to Nineveh. That's not the assignment that I wanted. When you're in the military, you go where they tell you to go, not where you want to go. Because I can remember they asked me where I wanted to go. And I wrote down, I want to go to Hawaii. There was an Air Force base in Hawaii, and I very much could see myself there. They did not let me go to Hawaii. And I couldn't stomp my feet. I went, you know where I went? Where they told me to go, which was Oklahoma City, which did not look like Hawaii. I wanted to be on the Hawaii squad, and they put me in a group literally called the Combat Group. It was a combat information system group. We were tasked with, if there's a war, we go immediately. We were mobile. We set up tents. Instead of MASH tents, like MASH for medical, we were setting up airfields and communications. But we were still a mobile unit that we went in first. We went in fast, and we went in without notice. And one day after I'd been in Oklahoma City for about 3 months, at 3 in the morning, the phone rang. And they said, we're going to war now. Everybody, go now. Come now. And everybody ran to, this was when they called, you went. It was 3 in the morning. By 3:45, we were in line. People had flown to that base. And we had everything packed, pre-ready. We're ready to go to war. And as far as we were concerned, the commanding officer said, are you ready? And we all screamed that we were ready. He said, well, go home. He said, the reason I called you out here is to remind you why you were here. He said, you may be in your offices, whatever, throwing darts or, you know, going out to lunch and going on leave. He said, but you are here to go to war, and you're here to go when we say. And, by the way, that wasn't the only time that happened. About once a month at 3 in the morning, the phone would ring and they would say, come now, now, we're going now. We would practice that over and over again. But you know what, Pam? When we say yes to God, the part that the military gave back was they had to provide for me all the time. Even when I got junky assignments, and I got some junky assignments, they gave us this thing that they called meals ready to eat. Here's a bag of food that's, you know, 8 years old. It's fine. It'll be fine. Yeah. And you go, this is not a meal and it's not ready to eat and it's not fit for human consumption. They fed us. One time I was out in a field for a month. There was mosquitoes. We were eating these meals ready to eat. I was living in a tent. It was awful. But I did my job. Another time they literally sent me to a beach in Carolina for a month. It was amazing. God will give you assignments that you are going to be laughing at. They're going to be fun assignments. You're going to have some hard assignments. Whatever happens, God is going to provide for you. He's going to provide your clothing. He's going to provide your medical. He's going to provide your meals. And you may not be eating lobster, but God never said, come to me and eat lobster. We belong to him. He belongs to us. Okay, I'm going to stop because of the time and let Pam, but I want to close with this. I was thinking this morning, ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and keep on knocking. Ask and keep on asking. Am I quoting the Bible right? Did Jesus say to ask and keep on asking? Did he say knock and keep on knocking? Did he not say that if we would ask that he would give? And so when I was praying this morning saying, God, I need some things. I'm asking for some things. There was a voice inside of my head saying, who are you to just keep asking God? And I said, you know what? Jesus shouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it. He shouldn't have said to ask because he said to knock and keep. Jesus, it's me again. It's me again. I want God to know that I'm pushing into the kingdom. And by the way, don't think it's hard to get a hold of God. When you're knocking on his door, the Bible says, behold, I, Jesus, stand at the door and knock. He's trying. Amen.
Well, we're going to pray, but I just have, I have a question I want to ask you. How many of you trust in the Lord? I trust in the Lord. It is decision time for us to say, you know, it's not just about trusting him when you're facing a lion's den. It's not just about trusting him when you're about to go in the fire. it's not just about trusting him in the prison. It's trusting him with the prison of your pain. It's trusting him with your relationships. It's trusting him with your whole life, being willing to trust him. You can trust him if the stars fall out of the sky because he's the one who created the stars. He is the way maker. It is time for us to trust God completely. Let's go before the Lord and pray. Can we stand and pray? Father God, we just stand trusting you, Father God. You have never failed us, no matter what we faced in life. We have come through up until today 100% of our problems, Father God. You have helped us. You have given us hope. You have not left us. You've not forsaken us. Lord, you've been true to your word and faithful to your word when we were not. So, Father God, we happen to know that based on history that you will continue to be the trustworthy God that you are. And so, Father God, the only thing left is for us to become trustworthy, Father God, that we can be trusted to do what you have called us to do, Father God, to fulfill the assignments that you have given us, Father God, to hear your voice and to respond and to answer. God answers me when I pray and when I ask questions, but do I answer God when he calls on me? Father, let me answer the call, Father God, each and every one of these people, Father God, that stand here in your presence today. I ask for a special anointing to be upon them, Father God. I ask for them to rise up in the spirit, Father God, and in the power, Father God, that they can do great things in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, we love you all.